Snap Dialogues, a show that features narratives from everyday people and their journey towards learning a language. I'm your host, Milo Falcone.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Catnap Dialogues. Thank you so much for listening. In today's episode, I have Michelle from Taiwan. I hope you guys get to learn something. Stay tuned.
My name is Michelle Wang.
Where were you born?
Taiwan. I work for state government. I'm working on computer field, like a database support, network supporting.
And how many years have you been in the United States?
Close to 30 years.
And what's your first language?
Chinese, Mandarin, I would say.
And how many languages do you speak?
Four. Mandarin and two kinds of dialect. Which we speak in Taiwan, that would be Taiwanese and Hakkanese. So I speak English as well.
I asked Michelle if she could explain the linguistic context of Taiwan and also when she first learned English.
Mandarin is like an official language. So when we, usually we spoke Mandarin all around because that's official. And the Taiwanese is like a dialect. But in Taiwan, they try to make it official also because most people speak Taiwanese. And Hakkanese is one of the language. I spoke both because my mother is a Hakkanese. So that's why not like everybody can speak Hakkanese. And English is when I were young, like in the high school, the school taught us English. So now it's getting more popular, like when you're in the primary school, they start to teach English. It's a core course in private and public school. So that would be the high school, the first year of high school. So after the primary school, we start to learn English.
I wasn't familiar with Hakkanese or that it was spoken in Taiwan, so I asked Michelle to tell us a little bit more about it.
Hakkanese, in fact, all the language, in fact, in Taiwan came from China. And because 100 years ago, people start to migrate. So the native really is like a native people, they speak different languages. They look a little bit like an Indian, kind of, not exactly. So when maybe 300 years ago, then people from China start to migrate gradually. So that's why Taiwanese, in fact, it's like a Hokkien. That's another province in China. So that's the same language. And Hakka is from China as well. So people migrate, first Taiwanese migrate, the Hakkanese migrate, second shift. And then after the Civil War, Chiang Kai-shek bring all the troops. That's my father. He came from China. Then that's why Mandarin, Chinese become the official language. So that's why I can speak like the other two also. Official one still Mandarin. And of course the writing is all the same, just the speaking is different, like a dialect. So Hakka, Taiwanese is more popular and Hakkanese is second popular.
I also asked Michelle if she had any interesting and cool facts about Taiwan she would like to share with us. And here's what she had to say.
I would say lots of people like to visit Taiwan because first of all, it's the people are so very polite and warm and kindness. So you feel really good when you travel in Taiwan. So especially the food, night market is very famous. It's all kind of food. And consider wise, it's really the price is really good every, you know, when you go there. And of course, the sightseeing, although it's a small island, it has really the high mountain. It's probably the second highest, like in the small island, besides, I think, that Fuji Mountain in Japan. So you can see that we have a very good beach, ocean side, and so you will enjoy both. North a little bit cooler, and south is like a tropical weather. So so either, you know, food or the people or the sightseeing, they're all great.
Though it may be obvious for some people that the way they write it may be different for Taiwanese people, I wanted to clarify that I was right with Michelle.
It's very different. That's why when we learn English, it's a little bit difficult for us because let's say we don't have a past tense. So that's why when we come here, sometimes we could get a little bit confused. So then, of course, the writing is the most tough one because we have over 5,000 of characters, and then we have to write, memorize. It's a hieroglyph, memorize one by one. So when we were kids, we have to remember, like a teacher taught us, we have to write 10,000 times to remember. Not 10,000 times, I'm just exaggerating. It's like a 5,000 pictures. You have to memorize them. So of course the grammar is very different from the, you know, English. That's why as for us, if you are Latin speaking language, you know, country, it will be easier for the writing will be. Of course, when we learn English, the alphabets is much easier than the Chinese. So yeah, so English is now getting so popular, so we try to adopt and try to, we really speak a lot English, now, especially nowadays in Taiwan. When you go really like go to have a tour, if you speak English, you should not have problem.
Now that's quite a lot of characters. I also wanted to ask Michelle why she thought Latin speaking people could pronounce or catch on to Mandarin a whole lot easier.
Because I found out when I first came here, when I read one of the, like some kind of questionnaire, I think. So one side is English. This is a joke also. The other side is really Spanish. That time we didn't really, in Taiwan, we didn't encounter any Spanish. So I turned to the other side. I said, gee, they are all English. I don't understand any one of the character. And then I asked my friend, what's going on? I cannot even recognize anything. She said, no, flip to the other side. That's English, this is Spanish. I said, oh, okay. That's why, you know, even I don't understand, but you can see the alphabets are all the same. If I'll give you Chinese, Mandarin, I don't think you will understand any single word because it's just different system.
What do you guys think? On the other hand, I also wanted to ask Michelle if she had ever been made to feel different because of the way she spoke or used English. And this is what she had to say.
Yes, sometimes I feel depends on people. If people are really patient, they will say, oh, could you speak again? Or sometimes they will say, oh, we don't know what you're talking about. Or maybe they just don't like, you know. I don't know if I can say the Chinese or something, but most of the time I found out it's fine. I mean, you know, maybe I've been here for 30 years. I probably gradually learn more how to speak to the people or you know, how to approach or, you know, so because the time and experience make it smoother and easier. So I would say, of course, once in a while, still encounter some kind of this kind of issue, but most of the time I'm okay. Yeah, I found out the writing, of course, will be more like difficult because, you know, our grammar, everything's different. Of course, speaking also, when we have I came here for the master degree, sometimes we have presentation because this is not your first language. Of course, you have to process or even write note. And for the writing, because of graduate school, your classmate, lots of them just American, they were born here. At first, I went to San Francisco State University. Then I transferred to Baruch, CUNY. So at first, when I study, it's really MBA. It's get involved, lots of writing. And if, when we need to take some classes for the business writing, and but for the people really born here, they can just write. They, because that's really their language. They just born, you know, to study that. So for us, we have to catch up with that part. So we have to put more actual effort to do, or you know, to write or even speak. Of course, time now gradually we're getting better and then more comfortable with.
Then of course, I wanted to ask Michelle what language she used when she was angry or to express her emotions. And these were her thoughts.
Of course, if I deal with American people, I speak English, make them understand that I'm really angry. And but it's Chinese, of course, I probably just speak Mandarin Chinese, let them know exactly. So I, you know, that's all I do both, depends on the who I'm speaking to. Yes, lots of time, to be honest with you, I, for some reason, I still feel very comfortable speak my own language, I mean Mandarin, because when I came to United States, I was almost 30. So that means whatever, you know, I really get used to it. Even in Taiwan that time, we don't really speak English because that time was not that. You know, if you go shopping or go somewhere, people still, you know, we still speak Mandarin. So I feel very comfortable speak my own, you know, native languages. So
I wanted to wrap up the interview. So I asked Michelle if she had any final thoughts that would be cool to share about Taiwan.
I think in Taiwan we are more free because we have more freedom. Because we are, we have a democracy in Taiwan. We can vote. We can say whatever. Most of the time, we can, you know, say whatever we want to say, express ourselves. It's different from China. So when you go to Taiwan, if you visit Taiwan, you feel more like a freedom. You don't have to, you know, basically. So we're not coming to this country. So we are more open, I should say. So the, you know, like I say, the all the sightseeing, food, and the culture is very attractive. Mm-hmm. And I found out people, it's like I have some friends, they are not really from Taiwan. They always like to go to visit Taiwan. So I did ask, in fact, one of my doctor, he's from Hong Kong. And I say, what do you like Taiwan about? She say, you guys are so polite. So I think that's make people feel very comfortable to visit Taiwan. That's one of the probably most, you know, the people tell me.
Now, Michelle mentioned food one or twice already. So I asked her one last final thought. What would she recommend us to get if we were to get, you know, Taiwanese food?
Not chicken with broccoli, okay? So order something else. If you like spicy, you go to the Sichuan spicy restaurant. If you like a really authentic Taiwanese food, you go to Taiwanese, or you have a Cantonese. So it depends on what would you like to have. If you like a dim sum, you go to dim sum place. So that's what I recommend. So try something else, more different. You'll find that it's opened up the different area of the Chinese food you won't regret, but not just chicken with broccoli or beef with broccoli, you know, like a Kung Pao chicken. Try something else, not lo mein, okay? My favorite plate?
Yes.
Chicken with broccoli. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking, okay? In fact, I came from Taiwan, so I like Taiwanese food, like, you know, probably when I say you might not even know, it's called three cups chicken. It really has a basil also, Thai basil, and with, they cook with one cup of cooking wine, one cup of soy sauce, another cup is sesame oil.
Thanks, Michelle, for being in the show. I'll be sure to ask for chicken and broccoli.
This episode was produced by me, Milo Falcone. A really special thanks to my guest. Music by DJ Young and Zayfall. See you next time.